Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas, Texas, on Monday, November 24th, day number 328 of 2014. Tonight we're going to check with our two wonderful ladies, Marta Verdes Darby and Sonia Martinez, and we're going to talk about Cuban food. We like to do that several times during the year, especially as we approach holidays. And tonight we're going to give you a special class on Café Cubano. You're going to have a PhD when you're done tonight. You're going to have a PhD on Café Cubano. We're also going to talk about some recipes that the ladies like to prepare for Thanksgiving coming up, and maybe even the holidays coming up. So Sonia Martinez and Marta Verdes Darby will be joining us tonight, and what a treat it is every time that these two ladies join our program. You know, let me tell you about Audible.com. This is a company that specializes in audiobooks. They're an Amazon company. And if you're like me, if you enjoy listening to audiobooks, if you like to have an audiobook in your, I don't know, if you're an iPhone or in your car phone or whatever it may be, check them out. We have a special link on the show information for audible.com. Click on that. It'll take you to their inventory. And if you get yourself an audiobook, you're going to make my day. You're going to make my day. We're going to take a break, and we've got Sonia and Marta right after this. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let me say hello to Sonia Martinez. How are you, Sonia?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Absolutely.
My voice is going, so I hope it's going to hold up.
Oh, that's okay. You
hour.
You need some Café Cubano. That's what you need for your throat. And let's say hello to Marta Verdes Darby. How are you, Marta?
I'm doing very well, Silvio. Thank you for having me on tonight, especially with Sonia. We always have such a relajo when we do this, right?
That's right. That's right. Well,
yes.
I hope I'm not embarrassing Marta when I say this, but your lovely mother, how's your, we say hello to your lovely mom. I know we had her on the show one time, and please give her our best. I know there are listeners out there who care about her, so give her our best.
I will certainly do that. She's 100 years. She'll be 101 in February, and this will be her 53rd Thanksgiving here in the U.S. And
wow.
We're looking forward to having her.
See, now, when you talk to your mom, you tell her something from me, but if she gets mad, you can tell her to get mad at me. But you can tell her that she was born right at the time of World War One. But if she wants to slap me, that's okay. She can, okay.
her latest joke right now is that she's older than sliced bread. I think sliced bread started sometime in the 20s. Or 30s. So that's her joke right now.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good joke. Well, ladies, before we get into our topic, let's hear a little bit about both of you. I know you've been on the show before, but we always have new listeners. And let's begin with Sonia. Sonia, give us a little biography.
Oh, well, I'm half American. My mother was American. I'm Cuban from my father's side, and I was born and raised mostly in Cuba, although I came to school in the Atlanta, Georgia area when I was much younger. I live in Hawaii now, so I'm still staying around the tropical areas. And I have one little modest cookbook out, but I've been working on one this last year, and it's almost ready to go to the publisher. It's, in fact, I think it's going sometime this coming week.
Good, And go ahead.
I'm still attending a lot of food festivals around the island and writing about them in my blog.
Great. And the name of your book is Tropical Taste.
Well, that was the original book.
Right, yeah.
This one is going to be From Soup to Nuts. And it's a little bit of everything. And it has a few Cuban recipes and
good.
A few Hawaiian recipes, but it's mostly my own recipes or my own take on some classical recipes.
Okay. Well, I have a Cuban mother, so I know what you mean by my own recipes. Okay. Cuban mothers all have their own recipes, but
that's right.
You can make
quesadillo 110 different ways.
Right, there's 7 million ways of making quesadilla or picadillo. Every Cuban mother has her own way. But I was going to say that you lived in Cienfuegos, as I recall from the last
time. That's where I was born.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In Cienfuegos, which is of course on the southern side of Cuba. Now let's hear from Marta. Marta, tell us about yourself.
Hi, well, my name is Marta Vives Darby. I am a blogger. I'm a Cuban-American blogger, and I say that I'm 100% Cuban, I'm 100% American, and you put that hyphen in between, and that's where I live, life on the hyphen.
That's right. You're like our friend Marilis, who wrote that book, you know, Dancing on the Hyphen.
Dancing on the Hyphen.
That's right.
I love that book.
Yeah, you're like that. I think all of us are like that. We're right there in the middle. Yeah. So go ahead,
Marta.
That's right.
So I started blogging about 8 years ago because I was home homeschooling my kids, and you know I realized that our lives were kind of funny. We live in a bedroom community between Los Angeles and San Diego, and I still have very Cuban ways. I still cook Cuban food. We listen to, you know, wonderful old-school salsa music, and my kids appreciate it. And then I thought, maybe I have stories to tell. And so I started writing on my blog called My Big Fat Cuban Family. And this is not about their weight. This is pretty much just the size of the family. That we just have, you know, there's all of us live nearby and we're all in each other's business. And so I have a great big Cuban family with lots of stories and lots of things that we share. And that's what I write about.
Yes. And your blog is My Big Fat Cuban Family. It's a wonderful blog, one of the most popular Cuban-American blogs in the United States, and I have shared that with many friends who have been introduced to your recipes through that blog, and it's just absolutely wonderful. Now, one thing I remember, and I'll go to Marta first and then Sonia. Marta, you mentioned to me that when you were a little girl, you kind of learned how to cook from your mom, right, in Cuba?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, it was in the U.S. when I was about six when we came here and moved from Cuba. And she started, you know, letting me be in the kitchen before we had, you know, people that helped. And so now it was more up to her. And she had Cocina al Minuto, which is the famous cookbook by Nitza Villapol. She was our Julia Child, and my mother still has that cookbook. It's wonderful and stained and well used. So that's where I learned from my mom and Nitza right there next to each other.
And Sonia, what about your you know, your mother was American, right? So
my mother was American.
Yeah.
But, when we lived in Cuba, you know how it was. We had somebody that did the cooking for
us.
But my mother would get in the kitchen every once in a while, and she was the one who planned all the menus. In fact, she wrote the menus for the whole week. And then the fruit, vegetable vendor and fish vendor and chicken vendor and all those that came to the house, to the door, that's where she bought everything, and then the food was cooked. So from the time I was little, I was introduced to every facet of it, from the shopping to the planning to the kitchen part of it. And talking about Nitza Villapol, my very first cookbook was not Cocina al Minuto, but it was the other one, Cocina Criolla.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I tried several recipes from there, and some flopped and some not. And, you know, when I was 14 and trying to learn on my own in the kitchen, I decided to make her peaches chantilly, and it was a disaster.
Okay.
But everybody ate it anyway. They didn't say anything.
Well, I am curious about one thing, Sonia. How does a lady from Georgia meet a guy from Cuba? Did your dad come to school here in the United States?
No, on the contrary. My mother went to school in Cuba.
Oh, wow. And so she went to Cienfuegos to go to school?
My American grandmother and grandfather were very forward-thinking. And my grandfather worked at Piedmont College in Demorest, Georgia. And there were some Cuban kids going to school there. And my grandmother made friends with some of the families. And she, one of the boys said something about he wished that his brother and sister could come to the States to study, but the family could not afford it. So my grandmother, who knew a guy from Cienfuegos, investigated the family and found out they were nice people. And she got in touch with them, and they traded kids.
Wow.
The original foreign exchange students. The three girls, the three American girls went to Cienfuegos, and then the three Cuban kids went to live with my grandmother and grandfather.
Wow, what a neat story that is. But there's something very very interesting about Cienfuegos, which I know you talked about at a previous show, because there was a lot of French influence in Cienfuegos or in that region, wasn't
it? The town was originally founded by French people.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that had an influence on the food.
Definitely. And we had streets named with names, you know, French names. We also had a few Irish names, surprisingly, for streets, but mainly French names.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you saying that in a previous show. Well, here's what we're going to do. Let me tell the audience the agenda. We're going to talk about Café Cubano, and the ladies have promised me that they're going to serve me some Café Cubano tonight, virtually, I guess. I'll smell it through the internet lines. And then we're going to ask each of the ladies to share a recipe that she likes to cook for the family in Thanksgiving. It doesn't have to be Cuban, but, you know, a little Cuban flavor wouldn't hurt. And then we'll hear from some members of the audience who have a few questions for the ladies. So let's begin with Café Cubano, which is, in fact, I just had some on Sunday when we went to see my mom. What is Café Cubano, Marta? Tell me, because I know it tastes great, but what is it?
Oh, wait, no, we only have an hour. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, we can do several shows, if you like, Marta, on Café Cubano.
I'm going to tell you know how I go off on a tangent. And when we're talking about Cuban-style coffee, the espresso, I think the fragrance of a perfect espresso as it's brewing. That's one of my most cherished childhood memories. That was how we woke up. Not, you know, who needed an alarm clock when you could smell the first little, you know, espresso being made in the morning? That was, seriously, to this day, I can even tell my husband uses the old style cafetera, you know, the one that
right.
you screw the top on, and I can smell from upstairs. I can tell him the coffee's about to burn. Like, I can tell exactly when it's ready. Like I said before, this is in our DNA. Cuban espresso is in our DNA.
It is our lifeblood.
Cuban coffee is like energy drinks before there were energy drinks, right, Sonia?
That's right.
Yes. And now, when we drink Cuban coffee, we drink a little bit. Now, in some cases, we put sugar. In some cases, we put cream. I guess it depends. But how do you do it, Sonia?
I use the old-fashioned little Jamelli type, you know, the one that pressure comes through the pressure from the bottom to the top,
mm-hmm.
just the old-fashioned way. But the way I first learned how to make it, now this is really dating me.
Okay.
It was boiling the water, taking the sock. You remember the sock?
Yes, I remember.
Taking la media and putting the coffee grounds in it and then pouring the hot water over that. So you can imagine how old I am when I can remember learning that.
And whose socks were you using? Was there...
It was a special sock. It was called La Media, but it's not a sock.
Okay, all right. So it wasn't
like one of those little things they use at airports to show where the wind is blowing.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't
right.
like you went into somebody's cabinet and took some socks.
No.
All right. So, okay, I'm glad to hear that. I'm sure many Cuban men are happy to hear that it wasn't that way. But that's how you made it. Now, how about you, Marta? I know this is one of your, in your blog, you know, this is one of your favorite chapters. So how do you make it?
Okay, let me tell you, for anybody who's listening right now, I actually have a video up on YouTube, and it's called Taka Taka Time. And the takataka is T-A-K-A. It's the first thing that will come up, takataka time. And let me explain to you why. Because when you're going to make the espumita, which is the little foam at the top of your espresso.
You're the takataka when you're stirring?
That's exactly right. That's the sound that you can make when it's hitting the glass or whatever, the metal container you have to stir it really fast. You're going, taka, 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 taka. So, I'm going to have to leave you the link to that because we're very serious about our... And not only that, let me ask you, Sonia, and also Silvio. We have a division of labor in our home, and we have a designated person that brews the coffee. There's always one person in the family who does it better than anybody else. Am I right?
Well, how about that, Sonia? How about that question?
Well, my son would make it better than I would.
Well,
see?
In
there's always
in our case,
one person.
Yeah, in our family, it's always the women who make it better. I mean, across the board. So I'll just...
Well, I think it depends also on the coffee you use.
Right, sure.
And I'm not advertising right now, and it's not paid advertising.
No, go ahead.
From my hometown in Cienfuegos, we have the Gaviña family.
Yes,
I went to school with Esther Gaviña, who is related to the coffee owner. So my sister, who lives in Miami, sent me Café La Llave in care packages because I can't find it here.
Wow.
So that's that. When you make it with that, it's much better. And I hate to say, I'm not going to mention the other common brands that you can find here in Hawaii.
Right. Well, there's one very common brand that starts with the letter B, right?
Right.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
You can find that here.
Yeah, you can find that in many places. But I just wanted to tell the audience, for those who may be learning Spanish, that they've just learned a new word tonight called takataka. And takataka is actually a Cuban word that has nothing to do with, it has to do, I guess, with takataka. I don't know. You explain it, Marta. You explain the definition of takataka because I know what takataka means. It's like they say, you know, you can see it, you can feel it, but how do you explain it, Marta? Explain takataka.
Okay, it's Cuban onomatopoeia. It's the sound that your spoon makes when you're stirring up the sugar and the first little bit of espresso to make your it's espuma, which is foam,
right.
But anyway, it's just the sense. It's onomatopoeia.
Right.
And again, this is Taka Taka Time. Look it up on YouTube, and I have a great video up explaining how to do this.
So Taka Taka is part of making coffee, if anybody wants to see what Taka Taka means, you go to that YouTube video that Marta has put together. Well, speaking of takataka, And speaking of Cuban coffee, we have a gentleman here who you've met before, who's a huge fan of both of you, and he is very anxious to do some taca-taca. So hello, Frank. Welcome
hello.
To the,
how
welcome
doing,
to the show.
Bill.
Just great. Please say hello to our two wonderful ladies, Sonia and Marta.
Hi,
oh,
Frank.
Sonia and Marta, good friends. I'm glad to be back with you.
Hello, Frank.
Nice to
hear your voice.
Well, Frank, I know you and I, just so that the ladies know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Frank and I were doing a show talking politics, and while we were getting ready to go on the show, we were talking about coffee, and I mentioned to Frank what a huge fan I am of Cuban coffee, and he had lived in Miami or gone to Miami and drank some Cuban coffee. So I said, we're going to do a show on Cuban coffee, and you can ask the two experts of Cuban coffee, the two taca-taca ladies, you can ask them about you can ask them about Cuban coffee. So Frank, I want to give you the microphone and you do it. Ask a question.
Well, Silvio, thank you, and I will go back and give you the story and then let you know that as far as it goes, I am a simple-minded idiot when it comes to this coffee. So you must be as absolutely plain as you can be. But here's the story. When I grew up in New York, and as a young person, there was a coffee brand that was very popular among the Hispanic people called Café Bustelo. And it
right.
came in a red package. And it was kind of like when you felt it, when you touched it, it was like a brick. And you know, you would then open it and you had to kind of dig into it. I had some of this with some friends who were very kind and said, you know, hey, you must try this. And it was just great. So I said, well, my gosh, I've got to get some of this. So I bought some and I brought it home. And there was no way I could ever recreate that taste. So the last time that I talked with Silvio, he said, ah, Frank, you know, here's the problem. It requires a special coffee pot. Now, I know you people are like the past masters. There are many secrets to doing this. But for a poor, simple-minded guy who's looking to get that taste, What is the coffee pot like? How do you do this? Please. What's the shortest distance from point A to point B?
Yes, Marta, I think Frank wants you to take him out of his misery, right? I
mean, okay.
Yes.
Here we go. I want you to, everybody buckle your seatbelts because here we go.
Okay,
here we go.
A stovetop espresso maker is ideal. This is the old school. The Italians use it. And I think when you go into a store, doesn't it usually say Italian coffee maker? It's the kind, it's metal, and there's a thing that you put water in. It's got a valve. It's very a simple thing, but I think it's intimidating to some people. But it's, you know, a little metal thing. It can go from 1 cup to 9 cups, but it's got it's made out of metal. I think you probably would be familiar with it if you saw it, Frank. So you you put the water, you fill the espresso maker with water just to the place. There's a little valve just below the valve, and then you take the strainer part of it and you pack it with your Cuban coffee. You have to make whatever the coffee maker is designed for. If it's a 1 cup, you pack it with the 1 cup. If it's 9 cups, you pack it full until your strainer is full. And then you screw the top onto that and screw it on tightly, and then you put it on the stove over medium heat, and you have to set it to the side a little bit because the handle is plastic. Now, I know it's 2014, but they still make it the metal device with the plastic handle, which if it's, you know, if the flame touches it, it's going to melt. Has anybody had the melted handles before?
Oh,
that was
yeah.
sort of a classic thing that happened to everybody.
No,
so,
it's like a percolator.
Yes. It's the same design as the first leader.
Along the same principle, but not quite.
Yes. There you go.
And what is when you say the valve? What is the valve? I'm imagining something that you turn. You know, like when you're in the shower or something.
Yeah, no.
Maybe it's
the
valve where the pressure releases, vapor comes through.
You have no control over it. It just exists. It's a little round, like a screw type thing on the bottom of the coffee
maker.
So you can't touch it. You can't mess with it. It's just there. It's just basically a way to measure the how much water you've got in the bottom of your espresso maker.
Right,
so
and I think Martha, don't you have a picture in your blog of this coffee pot?
I do.
Yeah.
If you go right to and actually type in on my blog how to make Cuban coffee.
Okay.
That post will come up, and the photo of the espresso maker with the directions and the link to the video, which, you know, if this was I wish this was Smell-O-Vision and we could do the whole thing so you could smell how wonderful it is when it starts to brew.
I know.
Well, you know, when I was
go ahead, Frank. Go ahead.
When I was young, down in Greenwich Village, you know, I love opera very much. And after a performance at the Met, when I was in the latter years of high school, I'd go down to Greenwich Village. And there would be these little cafes like the Cafe Reggio, and they would all have espresso makers. But these things had gigantic nickel-plated, highly pressurized machines that all had a big eagle on the top. And you knew that if one of them exploded, it would take out half the neighborhood.
Right, well, and in some cases they have, Frank. I tell you what, let me bring somebody into our little relajo here, our little party here tonight, and that's our friend Tercy, who is probably enjoying all of these conversations about Cuban coffee. So let me bring Tercy in. And hello, Tercy. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm trying to send you something. I'm trying to send you something to your Facebook page, but I think I have to send it as a message. It's a picture of the gorra. It's either gorra or borra.
La media.
I don't remember. What? Yeah, they call it, but they call it. They didn't call it media. They call it la gorra or la borra.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm sending it to as a private message to you, Silvio.
Okay, well, I'll make sure that I'll get it to Frank as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think it'll give you some insight into some of the inner works of Cuban coffee. But Tercy, you make coffee too, I bet. Well, how do you make it?
I make coffee too. Yes, I have a cafeterita cubana, a little coffee maker in Cuban, but for many years I made it the way that I'm trying to put your name in here so you can see it, so you can see what I'm talking about. And I'm trying to talk to you and it's not working.
Why don't you talk to me now? I do the message.
I can't type and think.
Okay. But
okay.
Tercy, why don't you talk to me now and send me the message after the show?
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that would be better.
But
yeah.
Anyway, it was. Unfortunately, I'm getting older. I can't do it anymore. So, yes, I used to be a great multitasker. Forget it. It just doesn't happen anymore. But anyway, we make it a lot. Especially during family reunions and family meals. And my sister and I collect demitasse cups, that are like the little tacita cubana, the saucer. And so she has a bunch of them. They're all different. And we actually use them to serve the coffee for the family. And
wow.
We just use a cafetera cubana. That's what we do.
Right.
You know, you
put
it out.
Do you put more than coffee into this mixture? Do you put sugar or anything else into the grounds, let's say?
I'll let the expert say.
We got to go back to taka-taka now. When you've got your little coffee brewing, it starts to brew, and as it comes through the spout, you've already measured your sugar into a, I use a Pyrex mixing cup. I just really just like the way it feels, but you can use a metal I guess you would just say something that has a pouring spout, and you put sugar in there about, and don't faint, please, when I tell you this, because we like our coffee sweet. Let's just start there. You place about at least a tablespoon of sugar for two demi-tasse cups, because we like it very sweet. So you fill your container with sugar, and you pour out just a tiny bit of the coffee into the sugar. And then you take a spoon and you start with your taka 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 taka, which is the sound you make when you're stirring that coffee and sugar. So, and I'll send a link to Silvio so he can forward it to you.
All right, very good. So we'll send it to Frank. But let me ask Sonia a question, because Sonia, you have a little bit more experience than the rest of us. But did anybody ever tell you that if they drank Cuban coffee they couldn't sleep?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they could. And actually, and I hate to admit this, but I'm one of them. I can drink it in the morning, and I can drink it up until about 10 o'clock in the morning or so. But if I try to have even a buchito sometime during the afternoon or something like that, I am wired.
Another, for the benefit of the audience, particularly those who are not Cuban, another word that we've learned tonight is buchito, and that usually, that means a small amount, okay? So we're learning tonight. We're learning taca-taca. We're now learning buchito. So those of you who are from other countries, and I know we have some who are not Cuban, Frank, you're learning everything tonight, but
I really am. But, you know, I have a couple of questions here.
Go ahead.
Number one is the fact that I know with Italian espresso, it is typically served at the end of a meal. It's not something that, or you might drink it at breakfast, but it's not like in the middle of the morning you'd say, I'm going to have an espresso. Is the same thing true with Cuban coffee? Is it part of a ritual involving breakfast and then after a meal, or is it something you would drink any time?
Well, let's see. Sonia, why don't you go first and then Marta?
For Cubans, you drink it any time.
Okay.
In the morning for breakfast would be with hot scalded milk. You put lots of milk in a big cup and a small amount of the coffee. That's café con leche. During the day, you might have a cortadito or a coladita, or you might have just a little demitasse. The coladita sometimes means a whole little pitcher full. And the cortadito is tiny little sips in little corner window coffee vendors will usually sell it to you in a tiny little zipping cup made out of a wax paper or something like that. And all you do is just take that sip and throw it down your throat.
And for the benefit of those who are keeping track of the words, we've got two more, cortadito and coladita, two more Cuban words tonight that you can add to your Cuban vocabulary. So how about you, Marta? When do you drink or when do you serve it?
All day long, whatever the occasion, there's the first thing in the morning, and like Sonia said, the café con leche, which is the warm scalded milk with sugar and the espresso, we drink that as children. And I don't know if I've just outed my parents now. My mom's 100 years old. I don't know if child protection will come after her, but they gave us espresso in our warm milk growing up. It was just, we had espresso with the café con leche, and then at about 2 o'clock, you need another one to pick me up. We don't do tea time. We have the little, like Sonia said, the cortadito. And now, some people will come to blows. If you make your cortadito with evaporated milk, That's how my family did it.
No.
See, here we go. Okay. You either do it with evaporated milk or you do regular whole milk or, you know, there's a whole, you know, it depends on where you're from and how you were raised, how you're going to make your portalito, right?
Well, let me, Frank, I know you have another question, but let me just quickly say something about coffee. And I was looking at some pictures that Terzi put in her Facebook wall the other day, and Terzi and I are from somewhat the similar region in Cuba, and some of the pictures of your relatives reminded me of this, Terzi. But I remember with my dad in Cuba, after dinner, we would walk down to this place in the corner, and he would buy a cigar and drink a quick cup of Cuban coffee. Do you have that memory too, Terzi?
Yes, I do. Have that memory. I do have that memory. Can I tell you something very quickly? I had a student. I taught Spanish, conversational Spanish for 7 years, and I had an adult student, and he came back and he said, I've got something to tell you guys. This was to the class. I went to Miami for training, and most of the people there were Cuban, and I saw that they kept getting up from their desk and drinking coffee, but it was just tiny little cups. So I did the same thing. And, you know, I usually spend the night on my way home because it's a long trip. I drove all the way to Iron Gorka. And when I got there, I hugged my wife and I picked her up, and she said, honey, I don't know what you've had, but whatever you're having, keep having it. Sorry.
No, that's a great story. That's a great story because Cuban coffee does pep you up a little bit, no question about it. Well, Frank, you said you had another question. So the two.
Well, I do, and you know, I don't mean to change the subject because this is so fascinating. Everybody's getting hopped up on all this high caffeine Cuban coffee, but we are now only several days from Thanksgiving. And which many of us here consider an American holiday, which it's not. The Canadians celebrate it. I think many, many countries celebrate it. But what is a Cuban Thanksgiving dinner? Is there such a thing? And what does it include? Please.
Well, that was our next topic, Frank, because each one of the ladies was going to share. So your timing was perfect. Each one of the ladies is going to share a Thanksgiving recipe and what they cook for their families. But I do want to say something about Cuban coffee. Cuban coffee was not only the original energy drink, but also the original Viagra, I think, because as Terzi just said, you know, it really wakes you up, doesn't it? I mean, it really brings you to earth, but... ladies, I would like for each one of you, Marta and Sonia, to share with us a recipe for Thanksgiving that you like. It may or may not have a Cuban flavor, but Sonia, why don't you go first?
Okay, Frank, to answer your question, most Cubans will take the custom of making the American turkey, but they might do instead of doing the regular stuffing like the Americans do, they might stuff it with picadillo or with rice and black beans. So
okay.
That said, the way I don't like to stuff my turkey. I like to do my stuffing on the side. So it's just my own preference. But what I like to do is take guava jelly and take butter and a touch of rum, and melt them together on the stove. Take a pastry brush and brush your turkey all around with that.
Oh, that sounds great.
Inside, I like to take sliced oranges or lemons and rosemary, and I stuff it with that just mainly so the meat can take that nice citrusy taste on the inside, but the outside, melted butter, guava jelly, and a touch of rum.
Now, Sonia, is it
wrong with that?
Is it true that the turkey speaks Spanish after you do that?
It hasn't to me yet, but maybe I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I mean, the turkey is saying something in Spanish to you. How about you, Marta? I know you do something for Thanksgiving with a Cuban flavor.
Yes, absolutely. We actually, when we first came here to the U.S., we learned about the Thanksgiving tradition, and we just made the turkey and then had black beans, rice, plantains, which is, our staple. But eventually we moved here to California. We're on the West Coast, and our Thanksgiving is very traditionally very American. We do the green beans and mashed potatoes and cornbread and all those things. But I've kind of added, because, we have corn, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to make a arroz con maíz, which is rice and corn.
Uh-huh.
And you start this with a sofrito, which is Tercy still there? Because she is
here.
Like, made sofrito sexy for me with that one poem that you read a while back about sofrito. Yeah. So so you start with the sofrito and you add a tomato sauce and you add rice to this and cooking wine and chicken stock and at least a cup of just drained canned corn. And you heat this all up and let the rice cook and all these flavors come together. And boy, is that a hit. That's become one of our favorite side dishes for Thanksgiving. So.
Right. And your turkey definitely dances, right? And he speaks Spanish and really dances a good Cuban. Because
I also have a recipe that I did it a couple of years ago, and like Sonia did, I added a guava sort of a glaze to the turkey, which, let's have a moment of silence, please, for guava. Thank you very much. Amen. All right. I'll eat guava on anything. But anyway, so our Thanksgiving is pretty American. Like I said, we live on the hyphen, but the Cuban part is we add the arroz con maíz. And that recipe also is on my blog if you're interested in maybe trying it. It's not difficult, and it sure adds a lot of fun and flavor, a different flavor to your Thanksgiving.
That's right. And I just want to remind the audience when you say living on the hyphen, just remind everybody of that great book that Amarilis wrote, because I think it speaks for a lot of us about dancing on the hyphen, how, we're between the Cuban and the American culture all the time. And certainly when it comes to Thanksgiving, Frank, for most of us, I didn't know what Thanksgiving was until we came here.
That's right.
In terms of a holiday, obviously we gave thanks, but not in terms of a holiday that would be a dinner. And I think for me that it was a learning experience, our first Thanksgiving. And I'm sure, Tercy, you must have had the same experience. Marta, the same. Sonia, you had the advantage of an American mother.
We had Thanksgiving at my house
because of an American mother.
But it was always very traditional, the American type.
Exactly. And this is in Cuba when you had that dinner, right?
Right.
But I think for most of us, Sonia being, the daughter of an American woman, growing up in Cuba, obviously you had that advantage. But one question that I wanted to ask Thirsty related to Cuban coffee and to all the two ladies as well. For me, when I was growing up, Cuban coffee and a cigar, like I was saying before, always seemed to go hand in hand. And I remember the men drinking coffee and smoking a cigar. Thirsty, do you have that memory?
Yes, I do have that memory. And for babies, okay, remember? You outing your mother, Marta?
Yes.
Babies sometimes get their tetes, their pacifiers dipped in Cuban coffee. not teeny babies, but toddlers, okay? And I wanted to say it was Amarilis that wrote the thing about the thing about sofrito.
Oh, okay, that's right.
That's from her book.
Yeah.
I think that's from her book.
Yeah, you're right. It's from her book, but... You know what Cuban mothers used to do to babies? Coffee pacifier. I mean, we would have gone, if we had done that here, we would have gone to jail, I think, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, when
I was
a kid,
my boys here in the my boys, American boys, American-born children, my boys, every once in a while, they got their ticket in the Cuban coffee, and that's how they started.
Well, I've got
my
to tell
father
you, ladies,
didn't
you
smoke
know,
cigars.
When I was a
my father smoked cigarettes, but he loved his after dinner coffee and cigarettes.
That's right. Frank, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, when I was a child, you know, if you when babies were teething, you took cotton and you soaked it in whiskey or brandy and put it on the gums. And it really works.
Well, they put it to sleep, it would work.
Now look, I'm going to get a little daring here. There is I come from an Irish tradition, so I'm going to kind of merge an Irish and Cuban tradition, and I'm going to tell you about a great dessert recipe that I think can be Cubanized very easily. Uh-huh. And that is something called trifle. And what you do...
Oh, yeah, I make them all the time.
Yeah, you take like angel food cake or sponge cake, and you cut it up into little squares. Now, the original recipe calls for a raspberry jelly on it, but you could use guava jelly.
Of course.
You make little sandwiches, and you set these around in a dish. And then you take either sherry wine or rum, and you pour it over it and let it absorb it. Then you take a custard recipe, like a flan recipe, and you pour that over the top of that. And when that has hardened, you put whipped cream, which you whip with sugar and vanilla extract, and cherries on top of that. And it is the greatest dessert.
Okay.
Mm. Wow, Frank.
I write for a magazine here on the island. The name is Ke Ola, which means the life in Hawaiian.
Uh-huh.
And it's I write a food column for it. And my latest recipe, which will come out in the issue that comes out at the end of this month, is on a coffee tiramisu trifle.
Ah.
And I use strong coffee and rum, and I have the mascarpone cheese, and the mascarpone and eggs make sort of like the custard part.
Right.
And let me tell you, this thing is to just lick your chops.
Well, can I share something with you which will probably ruin my reputation forever? Well, when I was in college, you know, I used to go to NYU, which is down in Greenwich Village in New York. And there was a wonderful Italian pastry shop called Ferrara's, Pasticceria Ferrara. And they had this Italian rum cake. However, very often I did not have enough money to have rum cake because being a kid, you know, in college, you spent it on the wrong things. You ran out fast. Your parents couldn't get it to you fast enough. So I came upon a substitute, which I will now confide to you.
What's that?
Okay. If you take a Hostess Twinkie and you soak it in rum, you will get
close enough.
It's a sponge cake. It's the cream. It's the rum. So we have a recipe in our family which we call Twinkies Hinkley, after John Hinkley, who he tried to shoot Reagan, and he claimed that his mind had been disturbed because he ate too many Twinkies. So you take the Twinkies. Now, here's the recipe. You take the Twinkies, and you arrange them artfully in a dish, and then you take the rum, and you heat it, and you flambé it. You set it on fire, and you pour it over the Twinkies.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't horrified your guests, it really is good. I mean, there are some things you just have to do, you know?
That's right. Well, Frank,
sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for the ladies. And hi, Frank, how are you?
I just wanted to say
how are you doing, dear?
I just started, you know, I just wanted to say that we started out with Cafe Cubano and we ended up with Twinkies. Somehow, I never thought we would.
I'm bringing it back. I just have a question. Then I'm going to get off so I can keep listening.
All right, go ahead.
For the ladies, what is the difference between a pavo and a guanajo?
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Okay. It's the same thing? Okay. That's what
I wanted to know. As far as I'm concerned, it's the same thing.
It's a turkey,
okay.
Right? Pavo and guanajo? Yeah, they're just...
Pavo or guanajo, same two different names for the same bird.
For the same animal, yeah. That's what I thought.
Okay.
I thought maybe they were cousins or something. Pavo and guanajo can be brother and sister, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Or brother and mother.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to the four of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to have to start wrapping it up. But I want to say, Frank, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I didn't know you had this valuable information about Twinkies, and especially since Twinkies went out of business recently, right? I think they came back.
They came back with Frank.
They are back.
Frank must be very lucky. I mean, very fortunate that they did, because, I mean, you have this great fascination with Twinkies. But I just wanted to close by asking each of the ladies to bring us up to date with their projects. I know, Sonia, tell us that you have a book coming up, as I understand, so tell us about that.
I have a book coming up. I think it's going to the publisher probably this coming week. I'm just going over the last things to make sure that I dotted every I and crossed every T.
And do you have a name for the book you can share with us tonight?
It's From Soup to Nuts.
That's right, From Soup to Nuts, right? And it's going to be a variety of your recipes over the years that you've put together. And Marta, what's the latest from your blog?
Well, I'll tell you, I have I just opened an Etsy shop. I designed a poster with all of my favorite Cuban food on it, and it looks like those old Subway poster at Subway Art. So I've got all the comida cubana that you want, and so if you bounce over to my blog, Marta Darby Designs, I'm in business now, and the posters are selling like crazy. So I'll leave a link for you, Silvio, if you want to share it with people, and. It's in your blog, right?
It's in the blog because I have a link to your blog on the show information.
People can go to
your blog, and from there you can direct them. But I want
to
thank.
I pinned it, and I want to eventually get one. So
okay.
It's on my to-do list.
Okay. You know, I was going to say goodnight to Frank as well, and thank you so much for joining us. Frank, I think you've become a regular on our Cuban food show.
Well, we need to give him
honorary membership.
That's it. We have to make him an honorary Cuban.
I appreciate that.
We're going to make you an honorary Cuban, Frank. Yeah.
I feel that way, and I am absolutely honored to be with the ladies and to have them answer the many questions, which have truly enriched my life and my, the foods that I do. I have several Cuban cookbooks now, and it is really a wonderful experience, and I keep learning from you. So thank you so much, and I appreciate the honor. I consider myself an honorary Cuban.
Hey, listen, you are an honorary Cuban. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And ladies, to both of you, this is so much fun when we do this, and I wish we had more time, but we're out of time. But I do want to thank both of you, Marta and Sonia, for joining us. Marta, with just quickly, your blog is My Fat Cuban Family, right?
No, My Big Fat Cuban Family.
Okay, there you go. Oh, I forgot that. My Big Fat, that's right.
Big Fat Family.
And Sonia, you have that book coming up, and we have links to both of you on the show information. But you're always a lot of fun. We're going to do one more show before the end of the year as we get closer to Christmas and to the end of the year. But again, I just want to thank both of you. It's a lot of fun for me to do this, and I know it's a lot of fun for both of you as well. So thank you so much. It's always a treat to have you.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sonia. And Marta, happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family as well.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for, this was a fun night, but Phoebe, I think you're going to have a disclaimer that we don't really endorse to put espresso in children's
no.
milk.
No, that's right. I'm going to issue
that.
Several.
Or
I'm going to issue. That's right. I'm going to issue several disclaimers here at the end right now that we don't encourage that, and we certainly don't encourage Twinkies with whiskey. That is something that we don't do, but we do enjoy having fun with it, though. That is true. But I tell you what, it's a Cuban night. Thank you so much, ladies. It's a Cuban night,
thank
so we're going to close it with the music of Ernesto Lecuona, and this is one of his greatest songs. So thank you, everybody. Thank you and good night. This is Silvio Canto. Bye-bye. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.